to the midpoint of 2000, when we're supposed to do our reassessment of where we're at with groundfish, why the timing, I think it would be worthwhile so the council can be thinking about the implications of the discussion, why it would seem to me it would be worth spending a few minutes talking about what it was that they said and the timelines, because I was rather taken aback by the implications of having to do an EIS and not having the luxury of waiting until the GARM is finished there at the end of in 2008, that there won't be enough time once you get the information as to what the mortality issues are and the biomass levels are and the reference points and all of the things that go into the reassessment. The time between the time you get that information and when we're required by regulation to have our management actions ready, it's like this big. It's tiny. And so it seems to me it would be worth, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I know we're going to be working on a presentation for September, but I would encourage us to, at least we've got the time, I would encourage us to spend 20 minutes or half an hour to have Paul describe the, I've done a poor job, I'm sure, in describing the issues, but I think it's significant enough that the council needs to be thinking about what we're going to do when we get to September, and here we are, we're now in June, that's September, that's 3 months of time that is going to be eaten up between now and when we're going to talk about it the next time. And I just have got some real concerns about us being able to develop a comprehensive approach to groundfish in advance of the GARM with the time frame that we're going to be left. If we then get to September and then we have this long discussion and say, well, we'll talk about it at our next council meeting, I think we're going to run out of time, is my view.
Paul, do you want to?
I think the first issue the council ought to wrestle with and come to terms with is whether or not we want to go full speed ahead with an EIS. Now, we have been planning on an EA, receiving the GARM in, I think, September 2nd. You know, it'll be completed in August. The GARM will be scheduled in August. And then by the time you get the final report from the peer review, it's September. We would have to develop an measures to be submitted by January 1st to be implemented in May if we do an EA. Well, if we're talking about having stocks that are below half, and I think in Amendment 13 we had around 8, if I'm not mistaken, below half, those stocks that were below half have to be rebuilt by 2014, unless there's a mean generation like cod and some others like that. And then if there are any others that have fallen below half, they'll have a 10-year rebuilding if we're first notified of them. And given the fact that we have to end overfishing on some as well, that it seems pretty significant of an action to me, rebuilding plus, you know, ending overfishing. And we also have a lawsuit that we're looking at now that says you should have done an EIS in this last adjustment, that the council ought to be precautionary and say, you know what, we probably ought to do an EIS, let's start it. Now, if you're going to start an EIS, you can't do it when we get the GARM. It's just not enough time. So the only thing you can really do if you buy in, let's do an EIS, and if you don't, you risk another lawsuit down the line. If you start an EIS, what you have to do is you basically have a year to a year and a half to complete an amendment with an EIS that says it's basically programmatic and says basically three different options. Status quo, let's use just days at sea and adjust days at sea for rebuilding, or let's use quota, or maybe combinations if you can figure them out, and use quota as the management measure. And then you've got a year and a half to develop that, go to public hearing, and then what happens once you get the GARM is it's a spec package for the GARM. Okay, so you do the amendment that says these are the type of corrections we're going to make when we get the GARM. We're going to address days at sea, or we're going to use quota. And then when the GARM comes in, you plug and chug and say, these are the specs, and you do an EA. Now, that's about the only way I think we can do it. Now, and then you look at reality and say, it took us 4.5 years to change to do Amendment 13. How can we change directions and use quota, you know, in a year or a year and a half? I mean, there's just so many different things to look at. So you might want to rule that out, or you might want to say, you know, if we're very narrowly focused and we decide to do quota on those stocks that need it, by golly, we're going to do it because we need a change. We've had 30 years of using input controls, and until the management changes, you know, we're going to have economic problems for the next 30 years. But maybe with quota, we might see the curves start going up on those stocks. I don't know. So that's a decision that you have to make, is do you want to do a programmatic EIS that says we're going to pick our course of action, we're going to do a spec package once we get at the GARM. And I think that's about the only way we can meet our obligations to address the rebuilding for groundfish. It's going to be really tough, but the other options of option one and two, using 2006 data and doing an EA, gives you a couple more months, but you still have to wrestle with an EIS. You're not going to do an EIS, and you're not going to use the most current data. So that's option two. Option one is you use 2007 data, the best data, but, you know, if you have to do an EIS, we're not going to meet our timelines. And pretty much we should decide, you know, by the next council meeting, whether or not we want to do an EIS or not. And the two reasons why you would do an EIS is, one, because you're going to consider it significant. And number two, it's been 5 years since we did the last EIS. And policy on EISs is that you redo them every 5 years because things change in 5 years. So that's the first issue. Do you want to buy into an EIS or commit to an EIS? And that backs up the whole time frame for that. And then if you do an EIS, you necessarily have to do it that you prepare for a spec package, that you're going to, you know, assign quota, or you're going to assign days at sea as a spec.
Dr. Pierce.
This discussion is needed, but let's keep in mind that there will be many people here tomorrow that would love to get involved in this kind of discussion, since it smells, it reeks of groundfish, and we know that's generally the focus of our attention. I think without question it's going to have to be an EIS, especially in light of the policy of management and allocation policy that this council has adopted. If we reflect on the points made by Paul in his presentation a little earlier on, there were more than one reference to our having high degrees of certainty, of our achieving our F targets. I can't recall all the exact language, but we visited that before. We adopted it as a formal council policy, and that means that I suspect we're going to have some very serious discussions about and perhaps adoption of, consistent with the policy, probability of 75% of achieving our mortality rate targets. And that means that the TACs, be they soft TACs or be they hard TACs, are going to have to be quite small, especially in light of the fact that it's likely that we'll have some real significant rebuilding problems to deal with once we you know, get the new GARM, we find out where we are relative to SSB and, of course, the F values as well. I see no way around it. There's bound to be some very, very dramatic socioeconomic impact that will go far beyond what was described in the emergency and far beyond what was described in Framework 42. I can see no other way out of this, especially since I suspect that we'll continue to be ruled by the weakest link in the chain, that is the species one or maybe two, for which we'll have major problems with rebuilding way behind the curve relative to achieving our biomass target, and fishing mortality will probably still be too high. That species, that stock, will drive the bus as it's driving the bus right now on Framework 42. There'll be a tremendous amount of loss of optimum yield, I suggest. We've identified that in the emergency. We've identified that in the framework, and I think it'll be even more overwhelming when we get to the next step. I suspect God bless you. But I suspect that the biomass targets for Georgia's Bank cod won't change dramatically. Yes, we have a longer rebuilding period to get there, so it may not be as big a concern as I think it will be. But the biomass targets are still fairly high for most of these species, and that's going to really require some significant and very momentous decisions on our part that, once again, I think will involve our having to do an EIS.
Tom?
Yeah, the one take-home message that I was struck with, and it wasn't just this last year when we got the information in order to do the framework, the timeline between receiving the most current information and when we actually had to have the regulations or the management actions ready was such a short time frame. This is a more extreme example of that. And the thing I was struck with at the meeting was, which is why I wanted to just raise it today so people can think about it, is that we sacrifice using the most recent data in order to be able to accommodate having a longer time frame for developing what I will characterize as rather complex input management systems that require a huge amount of detailed analysis and development work. The nexus for me was that what I was hearing them say was there is only so many steps you can back up before you basically lose the previous year's data. There is only so many weeks or months that they can shave that. The consequence was that we either need to come to a conclusion that we're going to simplify the way that we manage groundfish so that the measures that we use are more concise, and I'm not arguing for input or output, but that the development time between the time you get the information and when you're required to have the management actions ready is much shorter than it historically has been. And I think that was a take-home message that was pretty well made by the way they presented what was possible and what was not. And so I perceive that will need to make a value judgment as to whether we give up the most recent data to have more time, that's a value judgment we'll make, or whether we try to figure out mechanisms that don't require us to have quite as long a development time. And when you get the information, you sort of plug the information in, and there's some things that automatically happen, and or you spend a little bit of time with the development. Thank you.
Anybody else? Dave?
Yeah, I'd like to just back up a little bit and really ask a question here. If we do this, how much can we do in advance? I mean, as an example, we're already scheduled to have, a 23% cut in days at sea if we as a default measure. I think that was the number. So we can analyze that now, essentially. And we can do the EIS for that because that's already the default. And then a lot of the EIS will be, if there's less of a cut, it'll be less impact on some things and more on others. And if there's more of a cut, it'll be more impact on this and less on others. The EIS almost becomes programmatic at some point, as long as you've got the full-blown analysis done on something. And in this case, the something would be the default that's already scheduled to go into effect. So that might be a way to go forward, where we could basically have a good portion of the document and the analysis completed for what we already have on the books. And then we can change it as necessary, depending on which way we have to go, up or down, depending on what the stock assessment tells us.
I guess to my thinking, it would be something about along the lines of what Dave was wondering. I guess my question would be, Paul, I don't disagree. I understand the complexities. I just personally think we need to be getting on this in a hurry because we got a big lot of work to do. But I guess my gut feeling would be, if we want to go down this road, like I mentioned before, we need to I think it's imperative that we have the latest information available to us to use. But I'm wondering, under the road, what you got envisioned going down that way is if we could take and go down and start down that road now with the median, the high and the low, starting down your analysis, Pat. If you start into the EIS and as the figures come out, say median is what 13 projected. The high would be it's a little better than that. The low would be it's quite a bit worse than that. And maybe another step to it that says the low is twice as bad as we thought or whatever, and start down the analysis part of it with them, with that going in. I mean, if you're doing the analysis, in my mind, on the model, it's run this, run that, and run that all at the same time to develop the package for the EIS, and then would that allow us at the end of the day to use the latest information to tweak the end out?
Yes, it would, if we do it right. I think you've described pretty much where we are and where I think we need to go. We turned it, we were probably in that meeting for 6 hours, and we turned everything upside down and inside out to try to figure out if there's any way we could come up with something better. And the answer was not really, because there was always some weak link in the data chain. Things had to come together at a certain time, in a certain place, and you basically are left with the choice of either not using very recent information, which I think most everyone had a concern about, or taking the approach that Paul's talking about, where you would have to start essentially now, assuming you're going to do an EIS and bracket a range of what you think the possible outcomes of the GARM 3 will be. And if you've done that analysis, then assuming something doesn't really go off course, you'd be set up so that you could respond to the GARM 3 based on the best information, most recent information that it could be at the time you get the GARM 3 results. You'd already have set yourself up for that. The other piece of that is you've got to decide what your management response is going to be, whether it's going to be days at sea adjustment, whether it's going to be quota, or whether it's going to be some combination of other things. So you've got an analysis of what your response is going to be and a range of the possible outcomes. And then you wait to see what you get from the GARM, and you go from there with an abbreviated action to get in place by May 1.
Paul and John?
That clearly, I think that having the best data available certainly should be a goal. And if we use the GARM as currently scheduled for August and the report to the council in September, that allows the council to look at all 2007 data, to also look at the fall 2007 survey and the spring 2008 survey. So you're getting survey data and the most recent landings data and catch-at-age data, which is critical. So I would say, if anything, you want the best data for this. So that means August 2007 for the scheduling. And if you agree in September, we need an EIS. 2008. If you agree that we need an EIS, we have to start right away after September. Get groundfish together. Look at the different alternatives you want to put forward in the EIS. It's got to be realistic, be narrowly focused. Do you want to include some quota, some changing midstream? How difficult is that going to be? Because you have a year to a year and a half to do this amendment and bring it out, because it's got to be in place before you get the GARM. Do you see what I'm saying? So you got to be very narrowly focused on, you want to just address days at sea. Now, the Gloucester proposal, or industry proposal, that includes some almost what I consider combination quota day at sea approaches, but the quotas are not really hard quotas. So there's no really assurances. So it's like an input quota, but it's targeting those that catch the cod with no consequence with having a hard quota, but considering it a soft quarter. So there may be some other ways you want to do things and look at the Gloucester proposal, but all those things have to be fleshed out real quick and have, like, three alternatives. And the one alternative would be, you know, 23% status quo days, easing up on the days or going more days or something like that. I think that's a perfect alternative to the, you know, status quo.
John?
Yeah, my take is that we do need to start right now, maybe not officially, but at least send a signal that in September this council is going to take this issue up again and seriously deliberate the course of action we're going to take. I think we do want to make sure that we incorporate the most recent data available to us at the time prior to implementing this amendment, especially since I think it's in 08 or 09, the Bigelow is coming online. And there's all types of discussions, both among the scientific community, the policymaking community, the industry, anyone that's involved in this process, that is a seminal moment for this table and for Woods Hole. And there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding that. So I think with that in mind, we'd be ill-advised to forego inclusion of the last year's data collected by the Albatross. Secondly, this process, I was part of the meeting down at Woods Hole, and Captain Howard and others did everything they could, negotiating back and forth, trying to shave a month here and an hour there and a minute there. But quite frankly, if you go on the assumption that you need to use the most recent available data, you're left with the timeline that the Science Center has presented us with. And it's setting itself up to be very similar to what we just went through with GARM 2. And the last thing that I'd like to say is that my read is that if we fail to act, we will automatically take that days at sea cut in the ground fish fleet. The analysis has been done. It's a default measure, and that's, at a minimum, that's what will be served up.
Jim, you had your head.
Yeah, I was out of the room for part of this, but I just wanted to mention that regarding the 2008 data, I don't think you should have your expectations that the 2008 spring survey will be used in the same way with all the aging data and so forth. For the spring 2008 data, it'll be possible probably to get a survey index like biomass per tow and so forth, but I don't think you should expect that would be incorporated into an age-structured model.
But as I recall, Jim, if we tried to move it up, we'd lose the 2007 fall survey, and that was critical. So by keeping it in August, you absolutely gain the 2007 fall, and you get the index for the 2008, which is totally much better than the other.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I want to be sure because there are dates that are being, months are being used that, in my opinion, it sounds like the same time frame, and they're separated by 2 years. Paul has used the date of September several people have used the dates, and I want to be sure that the chronology is clear. In order for us to even have a hope of developing a management scheme that is different than we use today, modified from what we use today, that doesn't require us to have such long development time to accommodate changes in the status of the fishery, we're going to need to start that process as of this coming September at the very latest, this September. The other date that I think is really critical, though, is the presumption that the GARM is going to come available in August of 2008 and will be delivered, that's that
to the council in September of 2008. Okay, so there's two Septembers in here, but they're far apart, but they're not that far apart. That last year, when we went through GARM 2, when we got the information in September, council deliberated it, we ended up having a secretarial action because we didn't have the time using the current management approach, which requires a really lengthy process of evaluation by the committee and analysis by the staff to be able to put together a framework document that gets in time for implementation in the spring of the following fishing year. My take-home message to this was we need to find a way, and I'm not suggesting it's either or a combination of, we need to find a better way of being able to take changes in the fishery from a biomass or mortality standpoint and implementing those changes in our management structure without having to take 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months to be able to figure out what we should do. I don't think that in any of the management actions that we have had here in the last several years that anybody has thought they had enough time to do what they thought was right, and yet we were always late. In other words, we were running behind. We didn't have enough development time to be able to meet the deadline of implementation. It's happened this last year, and it's happened in the past where people feel really pressed that we get the data too late, the discussion about that we need to get this earlier, how can they drop this on us at this late date, and we have 60 days before we're required to have all of the measures in place, and there's a loud complaints from the audience, from our public participants about how can you expect us to participate in a process that doesn't give us the time to be involved. And so my take-home message here is that if the delivery date is not going to change, if the delivery date of the GARM is not going to change, and the implementation date, if we're not going to change the fishing year of May, then we need to figure out how, when we get the information, that the time frame between the information receipt and when we've got to move the measures out the door is a shorter time frame. And I think that's a critical component in trying to figure out what we're supposed to do in developing the amendment. That connection needs to be more closely scrutinized so that it is more about dropping the reference points or the biomass information into the process, and you end up with adjustments to your days at sea, or you end up with adjustments to the allocations if it's quota or whatever it is. But the complex that we use now, I don't believe it is possible to do that, and I personally think that's going to take a lot of brain work. It's going to take a lot of diligence on the behalf of the council and the participants in the industry to be able to sort that out in a time frame that will have it ready for when we get to 2008. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before I get to Rep, I was just thinking here as we're going along, a lot of people are hoping that the reference points go down in this GARM. Worst case scenario, what happens if they go up? You don't have to answer that now, but just think about that and then try to figure out what you would do. I don't have a clue. Back to the list. Phil?
To that point, Mr. Chairman, that's the point I was getting to before George was explaining that. I understand Tom's concern, and it's very, very real. But I would envision us embarking down a lot of work, no doubt about it. But like I said, you have a high, low, medium. I'd rather have that split to 5, a very low, a very high. If you get a couple of changes, this is what you do. We have 3 alternatives to do it. If this happens, we use A, B, or C. This happens, we use A, B, or C. This happens, we use A, B, or C. And start down that road as fast as possible to get going down that road. The other observation I would have to make is
You should probably have all of them meetings right here because we're getting along really good.
Rip. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that comes to mind thinking sort of about the process and thinking back to what we just went through with Framework 42 and some of Paul's comments. I think Paul made a very important comment in that we need to keep whatever we do on this very narrowly focused. When we did Framework 42, we chopped out an awful lot of issues that were in there and indicated that these would come up in the next action on groundfish. I think we're going to have to think about that because I think if we include those, we're doomed from day one. And we are going to have to really focus in on how it is that we can do these management actions in a method that ultimately is more proactive than reactive. And I think Phil's right. I think everybody's right. It's going to be a lot of work, but we are going to have to work very hard to keep from adding a lot of extraneous items onto that as the process goes along.
Good point. I think that's the end of the list. Anybody else was on there? I missed? Dave? Yep, go ahead.
To Rip's comment, I think he's very much hit one of the nails on the head. In dissecting where we went wrong the last time, I think we spent so much time trying to create what ifs if things were better that we never even considered that things might be worse. So we spent two council meetings essentially throwing all these things into the pot. How are we going to make things better for people? How are we going to lift some of this onerous burden? And we never once sat there and said, okay, let's all design measures for in case things are way worse than we thought they were. And that's why I think we were in trouble. I think we should do just the opposite. I think we should construct everything as though it couldn't possibly get any worse. Construct for the worst possible news. And then if things get better, great. We can construct stuff that's better in a hurry. It's the getting the, it's how do we ratchet things down if things are bad? That's the problem. So, let's construct, say, a 20% cut, a 40% cut, a 60% cut, an 80% cut, and a 100% cut. And have it all ready to go, all analyzed. And then basically we got to pick the one that matches the status of the stocks. And if for some reason it comes back and things have got a lot better, well, we can go the other way, I think, pretty easily. We don't seem to have much trouble making things easier for people. It's when we got to make them hard that the problem is. So I think that's what fundamentally happened in 42. I mean, we were all expecting good news last September. We didn't get it. It took about a month and a half for people to wrestle with that concept. And then it took another month and a half to come up with the alternatives that we should have already had designed. So, I mean, that would be my suggestion is, in addition to the EIS, starting on it as soon as possible, but also construct everything from a worst possible scenario instead of from a best possible.
Okay. This apple is getting smaller and smaller. Tom?
Yeah, it's some really excellent discussion and some really valid points, but I would point out that I think as we, even if we're fortunate enough that the opportunity grows and the fishery versus goes in the opposite direction, I think it's equally challenging to figure out who benefits from the opportunity, the increased opportunity. The problem in our management measures right now is that the allocation of the burden and or the allocation of opportunity is equally complex. And I'm not clear in my own mind, and I'm not on the committee anymore, but listening to the discussion at the last couple of council meetings where we were going through groundfish, it was not clear to me if there had been more opportunity in groundfish that those who might have benefited from that opportunity, it was any clearer to me how that would be done because there are arguments over this program, or should it be an increase in the general days at sea, or should it be that, I mean, there were all of these different arguments about, well, this stock is doing better. It's just, I don't think it's as simple as if we're not having to make a cut, that it will be less complex. My experience is that it's just as complex, and if striped bass is any example, it's much more complex to manage a growing stock with the competing demands and interests for people to have opportunity than it is to allocate the burden of conservation. And so I just would suggest that the challenge in our discussions over the next 18 months should look at it in both directions, not just how do you allocate the burden, but how do we allocate opportunity as well.
I had another quote for this morning, which I'm going to use now. An optimist believes that what's going to happen will be postponed. So that kind of seems appropriate. Okay, I think we're done for today. We'll start tomorrow morning with herring. Did we get through to?
Yeah, 8:30.
Did we get through to all those? Does anybody know?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so we'll start 8:30 tomorrow morning with herring. What's that?
You sure?